You again. Praise God. So I was in Canada last week. I had the opportunity to go minister alongside with some other wonderful worshipers and with Pastor Nancy Dufresne. They've asked me to come when I can, and so I feel like the Lord has laid it on my heart to be as available as I can be. So thank you for allowing me to do that. But I feel like every time we go somewhere, Pastor Steve and I go somewhere, we sit in these meetings and just get such deposits from the Spirit and bring them back here. And so what I'm endeavoring to give you tonight is I got a whole boatload of faith messages and impartations just dumped in my lap. And I thought, oh my goodness, how can I give this back to you guys? Because it's such good stuff. And it just changed my life. I came back changed. How many ever you are determined intentionally that you are going to be changed? And I looked to my friend that I've known for over 35 years and I said, I'm not leaving here without being changed. She goes, me too. So we decided right then. You know, you can decide that right now that you're going to be changed from being in this place tonight. Amen. In this next 40 minutes, we're going to have change. Can you believe that with me? I'm going to be changed. Amen. So praise God. I'm going to just dump it all on you. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to take notes as quickly as you can because I got lots of stuff, lots of info. So I just want to start by saying this. You can never busy your way to God. You can never busy your way. By being busy and doing things, you know, we can think that we're just reading and studying and doing all the things. And it's good. It's good to be in the habit of reading and studying and getting information. But unless you're meditating on the word and you're spending time, taking the time to talk to your Father, to listen to your Father, and to meditate on the word, I guarantee you, you're too busy to receive from him. So we have to take the time. That busyness will push us away. And I've never met anyone in the ministry who is close to God and intimate with God without them being intentional about focusing on their relationship with God, because it takes discipline to talk to God, to listen, and like I said, to meditate on his word. It has to be an intentional motion in your life. And I was talking about this with my husband today a little bit, just about focus. Actually came up in prayer yesterday when we were praying with our Zoom prayer. I encourage you to join us if you're able. But Zoom prayer, the Holy Spirit showed me how many take pictures with your phone, and then afterwards you look at them and you're like, ooh, it's a little blurry. And my kids are always saying, Mom, clean off the lens. Wipe off the lens of your camera. It's blurry. Haley's constantly telling me that because she's a photographer. And you guys have that problem? Probably us older folks have that problem. So anyway, I don't know what it is. Maybe our hands are more greasy or we just don't care as much. I don't know. But so this came up in prayer yesterday. What was it? Cleanse the lens. Cleanse my lens. And it was like God was saying that there's some things that we're looking at in and through the Spirit, but we need a cleansing. We need to clean off our eyes. We're seeing things. You know, the world can really taint how you're seeing things right now. There's a spirit. There's spirits in the world. There's demonic activity, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness that are trying to occupy areas and trying to cause anyone and everyone, he who will listen, to listen and change our perspectives and how we're seeing things and how we're abiding, how we're living life out. You know, I was in Canada and in Toronto, and anybody been to Toronto? And when I got off the plane, I'm kind of sensitive, and so I felt immediately this like heavy, heavy, heavy feeling spiritually. And then just noticing the people just walking around, seeing, I felt like I was in a different land, but just so totally different. And I was asking somebody, what is the spiritual temperature here? And she said, oh, it's super liberal. It's very dark. She was telling me that even in kids' classes and schools, if the kids think they're horses, they have to allow for grazing in class, for going to the bathroom in spots in class. They're totally giving way to that identification, that thing, Can you believe that? We hear about these things. You know, I had a friend tell me she was out somewhere here in Austin. She said there was this whole group of girls that were acting like cats. They had cat garb on, cat tail, cat ears, and they were literally acting like cats. And I'm thinking, this is insanity. This is insanity. But this is the world we're in. This is the society that we're in, and how far we've gotten away from the truth. And so, but it happens. It doesn't, you know, I used to tell Hayden all the time, my eldest son, the devil is not going to come to you in a red Satan costume with a pitchfork and say, here I am. I'm ready to steal your life away. No, he's going to come in and through your friends, the things that you're listening to, the things that you're watching, and he's slyly going to come in and deceive you and bring deception in ways that you're not going to know. And so that's why we have to, the word talks about in Proverbs, guard your heart, you know, because out of it flows the issues of life. We have to guard our minds. We have to guard everything right now. Put a guard up. And so I just was, gosh, I wish I could like go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way back up until now, but I'm just going to try to give you as much as I can. So it's the same way with our marriages. It's the same way with our friendships and our parenting. That's where trust is developed. It takes focus. It takes discipline, right? You would agree. And so I was telling my husband that, you know, I was talking about how I'm so mindful right now of how we use excuses for so many things or our blame. And maybe it's because I've sat in the Word all week last week, and then I started to, what was it we were talking about? Oh, Braden was giving us an excuse for something. He was supposed to be reading his Proverbs every day, and he was questioning him, why didn't you read it? You have plenty of time. You're homeschooled. You have time. And he gave him all these reasons and all these reasons, and finally he came to the end result. Yeah, you're right. I just didn't do it. And so I was telling him, I said, you know, I'm just realizing how many things that come up in our life where we throw it off on why we didn't get something done, or we throw it off on blaming somebody else, or are we just not making the time for things? You know what I'm saying? We make time for what we want to make time for, right? Bottom line. And so I want to talk about the disciplines of faith. And you guys know my word last year was intentional. I'm not off that word. It's still so very important in my life. I really feel that unless we're following after the things of the Spirit intentionally, with fervency and with discipline, with focus, cleansing that lens, making sure that we're seeing things the way we need to see them, that we will walk around in a fog, and the enemy will have his way in our life. We have to be quick and alert because the enemy is seeking whom he may devour. And so it's up to us to be quick and alert. How are we quick and alert? Well, first of all, we need to have our time with the Lord, and we need to have time listening. I think a lot of times we go in, we read, and we say, okay, God, I did my time. There's my time. I don't have any more time. I'll pray in the Holy Ghost real fast. And, you know, like Pastor Melissa was telling us. And then afterwards, it's like, okay, I did my thing. But what did we really get out of that time? And we need to develop a sensitivity to his voice so that when we are walking our daily walk and there's something that he's wanting to say to us, we hear him. Life is too busy to hear a whisper. What does the word say? That his voice is gentle and it's a whisper, right? And so if we're so busy and caught up in the noise of life that we can't hear his gentle nudge, we won't ever follow after him. So it's vital that we develop this ear to hear him and be quick to obey, right? Are you guys with me on this? So faith is a discipline. Faith is the currency of heaven. Would you agree? It's the currency of heaven. It's the only way you can live prosperous, fulfilled. You can have a happy marriage, a good family, all the things. And what does it take to please God? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder for those who, what? Diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Are we diligently seeking him? So I saw this. You guys know who Terry Savelle is? is Jerry Savelle's daughter. I saw this clip she put out today. Do you guys, you who are golfers, do you guys know that golf balls used to be perfectly round and smooth? Did you know that? You did? I didn't know that. You knew it? Okay. I'll trust you. Well, I didn't know. I always thought golf balls were like, had those dents in them. And she was saying that they found out after a while, I guess they dented them up enough, that they went twice as far with the dents in them. Isn't that amazing? And so from now on, golfers are playing with dented balls. And she was talking about how the size of your challenge in your life, how many have dents in your life? We've got some dents. We've got some things that go on in our life. She says the challenge is an indication of the size of your calling. How many of us have had some major challenges in our lives, right? She talked about Joyce Meyer, how she was sexually abused by her father for, I think, 16 years. And wow, what revelation have we received from Joyce Meyer with the battlefield of the mind? That's the number one thing that I've read that book like 5 times, and I would love to read it every year. I think it's just a valuable thing to understand that the battlefield is here. You know, we become born again here, but the challenge is here because this has to be renewed day by day. And how do we renew the mind? With the Word, right? The transformation comes through the Word of God. Thus, the reason we need to be in the Word all the time, partly one of the reasons. Dave Ramsey, he filed bankruptcy. Do y'all know that? You guys know who Dave Ramsey is. He's the big money guy. He's helping so many people. He filed bankruptcy at one time, and now he's teaching on how to have financial peace. He's helping people get out of debt. And then Terry Savelle herself, she was 11 years in a rut, not knowing what to do with her life. She was, you know, just kind of down, knew there was a call, but didn't know what to do. And how many of us are like that sometimes? We know that there's a purpose and a plan for our lives, yet we get into a rut and we think, how can we get out of this? And now she's one of the leading speakers all over the world, God. And all she did was obey God. God gave her some principles. I want you to start working out every day. I want you to start reading the Word every day. Just some basic principles. And you know what made the difference in her life then and her life now? Is she intentionally did what God told her to do. On the other side of her obedience was an answer, was a blessing, right? The Word talks about it, that if we'll meditate day and night, we'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of life, flowing, and we will produce fruit in the right season, in due season. And it also talks about it how that if we'll meditate on the Word day and night, that we'll be prosperous and blessed. That's a promise. That's a part of the discipline of faith, is being disciplined to meditate on His Word. Goliath wasn't sent to defeat David. He was sent to promote him. And I want to just encourage you, whatever it is you're going through right now, it's not sent to defeat you. It's sent to promote you. It's sent to catapult you forward. And if you'll have the right mindset about it and the right approach to it and decide, you know what, I'm going to come out on the other side of this victorious because God has a plan for my life and I'm not giving up. How many times the enemy will come? He's a dream thief. He'll come and he'll try to steal. How many have dreams in this room? Everybody should have their hand up. We all have dreams and visions and goals. And Satan will come and he'll try to steal those dreams from us. One of the number one ways I'm finding out is through age. He'll say, you're too old. Your time is up. Too late. You missed the boat. You should have done this. You should have done that. How many of y'all can say yes? Uh-huh. That could, well, maybe you don't want to say yes. But also through rejection. You know, there's lots of times where we've gone through rejection through men, through churches, through people, through jobs, whatever the case may be. And rejection will wear on us and start to, it'll cause us to identify with that. We'll become a victim in the midst of our rejection and decide I'm a loser. When I imagine a child deciding to be a horse, it's an identity problem. It's an identity crisis. And I was telling him, I said, you know, I'm convinced that the devil steals lives through identity problems in everybody can, if we allow him to. If you can say, well, I'm just a loser, or I'm just stupid, or I'm a failure, or I tried that, or I failed at that, or I didn't do good at that, or, you know, nobody likes me, nobody wants me. I mean, how many of these lines have we probably rehearsed in our mind or heard from maybe a friend or a loved one? And yet it's kept them from their purpose and fulfilling the plan of God for their life, the dreams and the visions. It's not too late. As long as you have breath, it's not too late. Amen? Amen. So rejection, Terry said this, is God's protection for something greater to come. Rejection is God's protection for something greater to come. I know there are some things that happened in our life where we felt rejected, and God had a plan for us beyond. And had we not kind of been kicked out of the nest a little bit, we never would have fulfilled what God had. We were kind of happy and okay with where we were and what we were doing. But sometimes we need a little bit of rejection, if you will, or protection from the hand of God to push us on out, like a mama does with her bird, push you on out so you can grow up and start doing and developing what God's called you to do. And sometimes we get too comfortable. Your comfort can be your place of going backwards. If you're too comfortable, it might be a place where you're like, I'm never going to grow here. If you're too comfortable, maybe you need to ask God, what do I need to be doing instead? And some of us are doing that. Some of us are stepping out a little bit. We're doing some things that might be a little uncomfortable, might be challenging our faith, might be stretching our faith, might be causing us to have to wear some steel-toed shoes because maybe it's stepping on our toes a little bit in the spirit. Amen. We're having to grow up a little bit. If we're not having to stretch, we're not growing. And it's important that we're maturing all the time in the spirit. Amen. So these are the laws of faith. Are you ready? I'm going to give you some quick things here. Laws of faith. Your mind needs to be fed the word of God. You need mind renewal. Number one, mind renewal. It's a law of faith. You'll never move forward if you don't have mind renewal. And it's a day by day. And I've said this before, what Pastor Steve said, Emma's not here to help me. Yeah, if you're not being transformed by the word, you're being deformed by the world. If you're not being transformed by the word, you're being deformed by the world. Because in God's world, there's always a progression. There's always creative abilities. He's always creating in us. But in the world is a fallen world, and it's always pulling away. It's always pulling us down. Look at gravity. Well, don't look at gravity, but you get what I'm saying, right? Okay, so number two, the law of faith is walking in love. Walking in love. It's so important when we realize we've stepped into a place of strife, we step out of love. And when we step out of love, we step out of God's flow of prosperity. And I love, this was something that Pastor Nancy had said. She said, do I have enough money to fund this strife? Do I have enough health in my life to fund this strife? Because where there is strife, every evil work abounds. And so we have to know that when we've stepped into a place of strife and confusion and animosity, it is completely against the flow of love. It's completely against the law of love. And it takes us into a place where we've separated ourselves from what God's enabled for us to have. And it's not something that we've done in and of not that he does it to us. We choose it. We choose to step into that place of strife, or we choose to stay in that place of love, that flow of love. Amen? Amen. And it's important. I'd rather have love any old day. Amen. Praise God. I don't like strife because, you know, how many have ever been in a place of strife and you just feel very confused? Where strife comes in, there's confusion, every evil work abounds, and it just feels yuck, because God's not there. God's not, when we step into a place of strife, God leaves. He is not there in that place. And so don't allow people to cause strife in your life. We have a no strife policy here in the church. We don't allow strife in this church. We don't allow strife amongst our people. We fix it. We get rid of it. Amen. Strife is the manifest presence of the devil. Strife is the manifest presence of the devil, and we cannot afford to have that in our lives. Amen? But let me say this. Give people room to grow. Give people room to grow. We are not called to be the spiritual superheroes deciding, being critical and judgmental of people and deciding what people are doing right or wrong. That's not our place. We're not called to be that. Give people room to grow. Give your pastors room to grow. Amen? Give your pastors room to grow. I love what Dad Hagen said one time, he said, don't go too far back into my teachings because I've grown some. It's not that I was wrong, but I've grown and there's some things that have developed in and through me. And so it's important that we're allowing each other to have room to grow. Amen? That's walking in love. Amen? Fault finding and criticizing is unacceptable. It's dangerous to your health and to your local church. Don't fault find where God has planted you. That's so good. Amen. So number three, we have to feed our faith. These are the laws of faith. We have to feed our faith. How do we feed our faith? We need to hear the word of God. That's what the word of God comes in. But then number four, we need to release our faith. There's a releasing and a receiving from our faith. So we receive it from the word of God by feeding on it, and then we release it through our mouths. We declare something. So it's good. You know, Pastor Steve said when he was in college, he had this list of confessions that he would confess over himself every day. Just get up and just, I don't know, a couple pages, just, I am who God says that I am. I can do what God says I can do. Everything I set my hand to is prosperous and blessed. I have the mind of Christ. I can do all things. Spirit of truth leads me and guides me in all things. You know, get out your own list and say some things about who you are. Because if you're not saying something about who you are, the enemy will be sure to stand by to let you know who he thinks you should be. And so that's not who we are. Amen. And I'm always reminding my kids when they tell me something, I'll say, is that who God says you are? Is that what God says you can do? Is that what God says you can have? We need to acknowledge what God says. Always acknowledge the word of God in your life. Always acknowledge the word first. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what your body's saying. We don't acknowledge how we feel. We acknowledge what the word says first. Amen. Now, I'm not saying ignore how you feel. We don't ignore it. We deal with it. Amen. We deal with it as the Holy Spirit leads us. But when you acknowledge the word of God first, then it'll give you direction and it'll give you protection. Amen. And so number five, we hold fast to faith. Maintain what you've received from God through meditation on the word and confession it with your mouth. So holding fast to faith. Holding fast. I love what Dr. Summerall used to say. He used to say, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. And I was meditating on this today and I thought, you know, you can feed your doubts and starve your faith also. You can feed your doubts and starve your faith by what you're meditating on, by what you're listening to, by what you're focusing on, by what you're talking about. And let me just say this, just because you might have something going off in your mind and you think you're meditating on something, just you, yourself, and you all by yourself, just because nobody else can hear what you're thinking about, doesn't make it right. If you're meditating on something that's not of the word, it's not God, it doesn't line up with the word, the Holy Spirit knows. And you're still, do you know the word talks about, I will worship the Lord, I'll love the Lord God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind, and my strength. And what one translation says, my mind. So it's important that where your mind goes, where your mind is going, the man goes, the man follows. And so it's important. If your mind's thinking on all this negative stuff, like, you know, I'm just an idiot, and I can't do anything, and I'm a loser, and all those things, it's important what you're thinking about because you're giving way to that. You're feeding that doubt and unbelief in your mind, and you're starving the faith on the inside of you and who God's called you to be. So what do we do in that moment? How many sometimes you just get into a thinking mode and you catch yourself, well, wait, my thinker was like going forward on something that I didn't mean for it to go forward on, right? And you catch it, and you're like, wait a minute, those thoughts are not from God. And so immediately we cast down those vain imaginations. I don't listen to vain imaginations and all those things that try to exalt themselves against who God says I can be and I am. The knowledge of who I am in and through him, his abilities in me. And so we grab a hold of what the word of God says. We replace those thoughts. We replace those words with what the word says. Amen? Don't just let it go and say, oh, no, that's not who I am. No, you got to replace it with, well, who does God say you are? Amen? I want to really be active in this intentionally. in my own life. I don't know, I want to encourage y'all with this, but let's be actively doing this in our lives and then in our families' lives. Let's bring it into our marriages. Let's bring it into our parenting. Let's bring it into our church. Let's say something about our church that's positive. How many have some confessions over our church? I was thinking about that. I see this place full. I see this place full of people who have Christ formed in them, that they're walking in the full maturity of who Christ has called them to be, that we're seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, legs growing out, arms growing out, things that we've never seen before. We see some amazing things in our children and our youth, that they're declaring the goodness of God. I see people running to get into this place, that we're packed out, that we've got to have more than one service because we've got so many people. Or are we home going, oh, there just wasn't enough people there today? I don't know about pastor's teaching. He looks tired today. I don't know. That song we sang on Sunday, that was not a good one. What are we saying? Ha ha. What are we saying? We got to be arrested in what we're saying and what we're meditating on and what we're declaring, because we're declaring life and death is in the power of the tongue. We're declaring some things. So on the victory side, let's declare some good things. Amen. Over our church, over our families, over our nation, in Jesus' name. We've got an election coming up. We need to be declaring some things over our nation, in Jesus' name. And let's get on the victory side. We're not defeated. We're not trying to get a victory. We've already got the victory. Amen. The devil already knows his defeat. He already knows his end. And we're just walking it out. We're just going to the other side. Amen. Okay. All right. So let the word of God govern your reactions. Let the word govern your reactions. So when something happens, you decide, wait a minute, how should I respond to this? What does the word say? How should I respond according to what the word says? Give the word first place, not your feelings. Give the word first place. Most put their feelings first, but let's give the word first. Number six, be disciplined to base everything on the word, not how you were raised or how you feel. We covered that a little bit already. But let's be disciplined to base everything on the word. Praise God. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, "This book is my heavenly bank. I find everything I want in it, the word of God. It's my heavenly bank. I make withdrawals from this heavenly bank. It's what I need. I find everything that I need in the word of God." Isn't that good? Let me just encourage you with this too. The word of God talks about in Ephesians 4, talks about he's given us gifts. How many like gifts? How many know what Ephesians 4 talks about the gifts are? Anybody want to volunteer? What are they? Apostles, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Yes, those are the gifts. Your pastor is not a life coach. He's not your buddy. He's not your pal. He is the man of God been sent to us to give us direction and to impart the heart of God. And the more we honor that position that he's put him in our lives, the more we'll receive from the gift, because it's a gift that's been given to us. You know, we've had people write Pastor Steve and say, "Hey, dude," and all kinds of things. I'm thinking, you're not a dude. You're our pastor. He's my pastor. And the more honor I give to the call that's on his life, the more I'll receive from that. Amen? And that's a spiritual principle, and it is a discipline. It's discipline for us to, because it's easy to see the man as a man. It's easy to see the woman as a woman. It's easy to see our faults, especially in a smaller community. You can see things. You can hear things. You can think, you know what? We will let people down because we're human. But as long as you continue to have an honor and a discipline in seeing pastors as pastors, teachers as teachers, and each other having honor and respect for one another, it's not just in the head, it's everywhere. And this is the order that God has placed it in. It's not ours, it's his. And as long as we continue to do it the way he's called us to do it, then we will have a place of honor and respect where the Holy Spirit can flow, because that's ultimately what we want. Amen? We want the flow of the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to show up and show out and to have his way here. And we want to honor what he honors. Amen? I honor the word of God. The more you honor the word of God, the more you're going to get out of it. Last week, I sat in 10 services, morning and night. And on Thursday night, I thought, this is the last one. I could still do this. because I love, and I'm not saying yay me, I'm just saying I love the Word of God. I have such a hunger for the Word. I love God's Word. It brings life to me. And that's the way we need to be. The more, oh, you guys, I ate a donut yesterday. I hadn't had one in like 8 months. And because I'm talking about my diet, you know, I had one and I was like, oh no, I could eat more of these. It's so good. It's bad. I gotta stop. No, but that's not like the Word. We can eat the Word and go, ooh, this is good, and I'm gonna have me some more. Amen? Yeah? You guys know what I'm saying. Don't get that pumpkin donut from Round Rock Donuts. They have pumpkin donuts. I went to take one to my mom. She was in the hospital last week. I thought, she's going to like this pumpkin donut. And I took a bite. Don't do it. Just don't do it. But you can eat the Word of God all you want and just want more and more and more. Amen? Praise God. Are you doing all right? Okay. So feeding on the Word, finding the place where it's found, whatever the Word, the Holy Spirit is leading. Find that place. Don't just say, it's in the Word somewhere. I know it says this about something, but find it where it is and declare it and say it over your life. Find where the address, I've heard somebody refer to it as the address, is, and find it and declare it over your life. Okay, so let me move forward a little bit here. Praise the Lord. So meditation is how you get in your heart. Memorization is in the mind. And it's okay to memorize the Word. We need to know the Word so we know how to pray. Because when we go to prayer, we need to be able to pull it up out of our spirits. And the only way we can do that is if we have memorization. But get beyond just memorizing the Word of God and just quoting it by rote. You just don't just, you know, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, what does that mean? Get it, meditate on it. Think on it. Think on these things and focus on it. I like to take it like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my. And just enunciate different words because it gives it different meaning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. I mean, you can enunciate all kinds of words and it says something different every time, doesn't it? So when you meditate on it like that, it gives more life. And you ask the Holy Spirit, give me some inspiration in what I'm meditating on right now. Speak to me. He's multifaceted and there's no end to the wisdom that he can bring to you if you're willing to sit and listen and ask for it. Amen? So to the degree we meditate on it is the degree of success we will have. The Word talks about it. If you'll meditate on it day and night, you'll have good success, right? How many want to be successful? I was thinking about that scripture. If I meditate on it day and night, I'll be a success. Do I really believe that? Because if I believed it, I'd be meditating on it more and more, right? So meditate on it and let it be life to you. Grab a hold of that life. Meditation makes you wise. Praise God. The most spiritual people that I've ever known are those who actually meditate on the Word. It becomes life to them. People that know the Word of God. When something looks impossible, meditate on the Word. It makes the difficulty look easy. Praise God. Have you ever seen that word, Selah? You guys know? S-E-L-A-H. You know what it means. It means to stop and meditate on it. Yes, meditate. And there's a reason why it's there. The Word is telling us, you need to meditate on this. Number 7, there's a discipline of releasing faith. Releasing faith. So there's a discipline. So a lot of times, over the years, we've had prayer lines and have had people come forward for receiving healing. And a lot of times, sometimes I can tell if someone has not received. Most of the time I can tell. They walk up the same way, they walk out the same way they walked up. You can just kind of feel it's like there's like a board there. There's no reception. There's no drawing and receptiveness from, it's just like, this is a magic trick. It's not a magic trick. The power of God is available to make a change and make a difference in our life. But it takes your faith to reach in and ignite and grab a hold of that power. And what happens is that power is released, and that's when there is the healing flow, right? And so it's kind of like that example I used a couple weeks ago, if you were here, we use those pop rocks. Remember, I used those pop rocks. You guys know what those are. And Braden had them in his hand. While he held them in his hand, they didn't make any noise. But once he put them in his mouth, it was like, you know, all this sparking going on. There was an igniting of the power, if you will, of faith and the power of God coming together. And that's what happens when we expect, when we believe. I like to say when I'm coming up forward, you know, I had hands laid on me last week. Actually, I brought a prayer cloth for Pastor Stephen for my mom. And when I went up, I said, I will receive from the power of God in Jesus' name in these prayer cloths to bring home. And so I like to say something about what I'm about to receive. That way it ignites my faith in it, and I'm expecting to receive. So it's important that we have a discipline of releasing our faith. We can get used to just being carriers of faith. I'm a carrier of faith. You're a carrier of faith. You're hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. You're a carrier. We've made deposits. Deposits made. No one can release your faith but you. You have to release it. You are the custodian of your faith. And so when you come up or when you're believing God for something in your life, you release it. You say something. You say, God, I believe that I receive in Jesus' name. Someone said this. I love this. This is a responsibility gospel. We have a responsibility. Other gospels, other religions put it all on their God. But we have a responsibility to receive from the power of God. Amen. We have a responsibility to put it in. We have a responsibility to act. Faith without works is dead. We don't get into works, but we have to do something with our faith to receive it. Amen. Faith is silent until you say something. It's abiding. It's residing. Hearing isn't a complete cycle. It has to come in me and go out. It's not a leak out, but a speak out. I don't leak it out. I speak it out. Intentionally, I'm living a life of faith. I'm intentionally drawing on the power of God, saying, Father, I thank you that today is going to be an amazing day. I've already got some things I've been speaking out over my family over the next month, over the next couple of months, speaking in blessings, you know, prosperity, monetary needs being met in Jesus' name. You're the God who is more than enough. You're my supply. You're my source. Father, I thank you that it's coming in. I'm blessed coming in and going out. Favor of God is all over me. It's all over my family. It's all over my boys when they do roofing, all over my daughter, all over my kids, my in-laws, all the kids. They're all included. Amen? So hearing isn't a complete cycle. It has to come in and out. It's not a leak, but a speak. Amen. Intentional living. Ignore the clock and the calendar when waiting on the outcome. Most of us are looking, okay, Lord, I got prayed for last week. Where's the answer? If the clock and the calendar trouble you, then God will give you more time to work on it. If the clock and the calendar trouble you, he will give you more time to work on it. And I'll just leave that there. So your faith shouldn't be on results. Your faith is in God. And the results come. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added, right? And his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So people think faith isn't working if it doesn't come instantly. God doesn't live by our timetables. Faith is unheard until you say something. Faith is unheard until you say something. Isn't that good? Man, it's so good. Hearing the word is making faith deposits. So there's deposits being made tonight. Faith comes in and it goes out. You employ it intentionally, employing your faith intentionally to receive from God. He's waiting on us to perform the act of receiving. The act of receiving. That's a part of disciplined faith. Number 8, discipline of confession. We've been talking about that. Hebrews 4, it talks about that we have a high priest. He ascended from the heavens. He is the high priest of our confession. He is the high priest of our confession. He is not the high priest of our faith. He's the high priest of our confession. Amen? He's not the high priest of our need. He's the high priest of our confession. Praise God. So hold fast to the profession or confession of our faith without wavering. So our talk level shows heaven, our interest level. So our eldest son, Hayden, I talk about Hayden because it seems like he was the one who did this the most, but he would get something in his head that he wanted. He wanted a Nintendo for one of his birthdays, I forget what it was, and all he did was talk about it, told me all the details, told me about how the game works and all the things, and I'm like, I don't really care. I don't really care. Okay, you want it. You want it. I get it. You want it. And he never let up. How many have had kids like that? They don't let up. He's still the same way. There's a reason for that. There's leadership in that. But anyways, so determined. Yes, it is. It's leadership. Determined to have something. And what I love about that, though, is once you get them on their faith, you give faith on the inside of them and they understand this, there's nothing that you can keep them from, because they have a determination from the Holy Ghost to get what God has for them, right? And that's the way it needs to be with us. When we're believing God for something, Father, I thank you. We get in the thankful mode. We ask and then we start thanking. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Father. I believe I receive my answer. Thank you, Lord, for the increase in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So our talk level shows heaven, our interest level. There is opposition to our want to. There will be opposition. How bad do you want it? Because you'll have hindrances and they'll come against what you're saying. George Mueller says, few people know how to contend. Few people. How many contenders do I have in the room? I'm a contender. Amen. We don't win battles by praying. We win battles by praising. And what I mean by this is we lay hold by praying. We lay hold by praying. And I'm not belittling or saying prayer isn't important. Yes, we have to pray. We lay hold. But we get the victory by praising. Look at who they put on the front of the battle lines. It was the praisers, because they knew they would praise their way into victory. So I want to encourage you, you know, there's a whole teaching on the praise cure. I don't know if I have a moment here. I can read this to you really quick. You guys good? This, my book opened up to this today, and I was talking about it already, so it was almost like, you should read this. How many have ever had that happen? You need to read this. Okay. So this is about the praise cure. How many know you can pray, 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 pray? Brother Hagin used to talk about the weights, the scales, and the Lord showed him that a lot of people have prayed, 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 and the scales were heavy on this end, but they hadn't praised, so the scales were lopsided because there's a lot of praying going on, but not enough praising. Praising played a role in Paul and Silas getting out of jail, and praising played a role in God's people getting into Jericho. In life, you sometimes need to come out of a place, and you sometimes need to get into a place. Praising plays a role in you moving out or moving in. Praise gets your focus off of you and your circumstances and puts your focus on God, the greater one. When you praise God from your heart, faith is released. And God goes where faith puts him. God goes where faith puts him. Praising God doesn't move him, but it moves you into a place of faith. And God answers and he moves because of your faith. Praising God helps keep your focus and attention off of the difficulty and onto the greater one. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Don't you love that? Let me see. I think I skipped something. Spending much time praising God moved me out of a mental arena and back into the spirit and into faith. A lot of times when we're praying, we'll stay in a mental arena. And we need to slip over into the spirit. It's a place where we pray from. In the spirit. We're not trying to get to it. We just slip over into that place in the spirit and we pray from this place. And we're not meditating on how we're praying or what we're saying or how we're sounding. We're in that place where it's me and God, and we're accessing the power of God and the ability of God. And so when we get in that place, then she said, I started operating in faith. God's power began flowing and things started changing, and I got on the other side of a test. When faced with a test, praising the Lord holds you in the spirit arena, which is the arena of faith, and out of a mental arena. Now, the natural mind may reason that simply praising God isn't enough to deliver you from a difficult situation, but it is. For praise is one way you release your faith in the power of God, and the power of God can change your situation. Praise God. Isn't that good? Okay. So how you handle your body is a form of worship. This is the last one. The discipline of submitting your body. Number nine, to submit, discipline and submitting your body. Romans 12:1-2, you guys know this. present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, holy, acceptable. If there's an acceptable sacrifice, then there's an unacceptable sacrifice, right? Let's be acceptable. So how you handle your body is a form of worship. Where you take your body is a form of worship. What you do with your body is a form of worship. What you do with your mind is a form of worship, or not. Don't dishonor him when you take your body where it doesn't need to go. Renewing the mind is taking on God's way of thinking. So we've got to renew our mind. We open the door or we close the door to the devil with what we do with our bodies, how we submit our bodies. We have to think on the word. If we don't change our thinking, we won't look any different to the world. If we don't change our thinking, we'll look just like the rest of the world. The renewing of our mind transforms our life. So it's important what we're doing with our bodies and how we're submitting our bodies to God. Not eating too many donuts. Oops. Undisciplined thought life is easy for the devil to overthrow. Yikes. Undisciplined thought life. Pay attention to your thought life. Run from fear. Only settle for peace and joy. Everything God does for us, the devil is busy trying to steal it from us. Isn't this good stuff? I'm kind of pouring it out on you really quickly here. Don't think what God does is forever based on what you do with it. Look at Adam and Eve. They're a great example. They were given the garden. It was up to them what they did with it. So you need to be careful what you do with what God gives you. What we receive from God has to be watched over. He's given us bodies to take care of. Sound mind, we got to take care of it. The devil has to get you thinking wrong so he can steal it from you. Again, he's seeking whom he may devour. So he's wanting to get in and cause you all kinds of deceptions and things to think different ways so that he can sneak in and pull things out from under your feet. Like I said on Sunday, we are hid in Christ. This is a divine game of hide and seek. He's seeking whom he can devour. We're hid in Christ. If we're hid in Christ, he can't get to us. So keep staying in that place of being hidden in Christ. Symptoms play tug of war on your health. We're not listening to symptoms. Amen? Symptoms aren't yours because you feel them. Don't take sickness just because you feel them. It's a lie. The devil's trying to steal from you. And I gave this example on Sunday about the woman who got healed at the Oral Roberts crusade. She received her healing. She was blind. And when she left there, she could completely see. And then for 3 weeks thereafter, all of a sudden, she went blind again. And so instead of lining up with the symptoms, she kept saying, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed." And 3 weeks later, her eyes popped back open and she could see again. So the enemy knows how to send symptoms to make you think that you've lost something or to make you think that you're getting sick or that you're going to have this all your life or you're going to have these problems. And as soon as he sends those symptoms, then it's up to you what you do with your mouth, whether you concur, whether you line up with it, whether you decide, yep, this is what I got now, this is my problem. We don't have heart problems. We don't have back problems. We don't have health problems. That's not mine. That's not ours. Those are symptoms. But my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I've been bought and redeemed with the blood of Jesus. Amen? The symptom has to go. Be careful that you keep your mind and your heart full of the Word of God, because an empty place is not a safe place. Anything can fill your tank. Be full of the Word. Be full of the Spirit. Amen?